Good morning. As my Cajun buddy at the feed store used to say, how y'all are? Yeah, he came in the morning and said, how y'all are? You want to know the Cajun answer? C'est bon. C'est bon. It's good. So if I ask you how y'all are, say, c'est bon. Yeah, that's easy to remember. C'est bon. It's French, but Cajuns really put the emphasis on that. Why am I talking about Cajuns? I have no idea. I just thought I'd greet you like I used to get greeted every morning. I loved it. Well, we're going to be talking this morning about our minds. Okay. I know. How can you talk about something you have very little of? I'm so proud of you guys. But we think of our brain. The Bible talks about our hearts. And the scholars agree that in the Bible, when God talks about your mind or your heart, it what's included is where the seat of your will and emotions reside. Okay? So I almost entitled this message, Where's Your Head? But I thought, well, some people might not like that. That's what we used to say in the 70s. I used to say, man, that hurt my head. You know, I had a guy just broke down laughing one time. He was Russian. He said, if you said that in Russia, they'd say, oh, you poor guy, you need an aspirin. That's just an expression I had. It hurt my head. If something made me think, it hurt my head. Something irritated me, it hurt my head. You know, it stirred my emotion. And this morning, the question is for you and I to consider, where's your mind? Where is your affections? I picked a short passage from Paul. It's, all right. Out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I just picked this section, but we'll be referring to other passages because I didn't want to put 30 verses on here. I notice people, I get to losing you. You know, and some of you go to sleep. Some of you go to your happy place. You know. Yeah, I know. You think I don't see that up here, do you? Yeah, I do. Yeah. And Paul is talking to a group of Christians that's had a group of philosophers come in to the church. All churches have them. And they said, it's called the Colossian heresy. You can't worship God directly. You're not worthy. You can't even talk to Jesus directly because you're not worthy. So you pray to this angel. He prays to this angel, who then speaks to this angel, who goes to this angel. You go through this hierarchy. And finally, the angel of God, Gabriel is one of them. Michael is another one. And they go to Jesus. Jesus gives them an answer. Michael tells this angel, who tells this angel. And it was a hierarchy of angels. There's still churches teach that today. You pray to St. Peter, who talks to St. Paul, who talks to St. Jude, who talks to Mary, who asks Jesus. And, you know, Paul is having to correct this mindset in the church. He's reminding them, you're not of the world anymore. We forget that as Christians. We really do. We forget that Jesus Christ does an actual change in our lives, and we have a change of address. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't belong in this world. By that I mean you have no right to think like the world, to entertain yourself like the world, to have your mindset on the things of the world. John said if you do, you're God's enemy. And the Colossian heresy was teaching you need to take cold showers, abstain from sex with your wife, don't eat certain foods, beat your body, literally beat yourself to drive that wickedness out of you. Martin Luther used to do that, and his priest said, Martin, you cannot drive out of the flesh what's in the spirit by whipping yourself. Okay? So Paul's dealing with this heresy, and it's still here today. It's just changed names, okay? Here it was called the Colossian heresy. And I want to focus today on where is your mind, Christian? That's what I've been thinking about this all week. Where should my mind be? I've heard this all my life in the church, and it sickens me. I literally want to hurl.
Well, you don't want to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good.
That's impossible. The more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you are to Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm going to read the text. Probably should have done that first. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Father, I thank you for your word. It is truth. It never comes back to you void. It always does what you send it out, whether it's to rebuke, encourage, or condemn. Lord, your word will do what you send it out to do. I pray this morning that it is for encouragement to your people. I pray that you will give us the realization of who we are in Christ, and we can set our mind on heavenly things through that direct contact called the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you are the God who changes lives, that you are the God who sets us free from ourselves, our own worst enemy, Lord. We acknowledge this morning that the devil is not our worst enemy. We are our worst enemy. And we ask this morning humbly, Lord, and we receive from you the power to tread on all the power of the enemy and over all temptations and to live a pure and holy life before you on this side. And I thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul's addressing the church that's got this philosophy that's come in. And Paul says, where's your head, church? Where's your mind? Why do you want to get caught up in this? He went on to say about this heresy, they're ascetic. That means they separate themselves from everybody. He said they have strict, rigid diets. You know, they would starve themselves. And he said, all this looks good on the outside. Oh, what a holy people. But he said, it won't do anything about the heart problem that we have. Paul said, it looks good on the outside, but it doesn't change you. You know, it doesn't change you. The Pharisees were very guilty. Jesus said, I didn't say he did. He said, you diligently study the Bible. The Pharisees would memorize whole books of the Bible. There were Pharisees that could quote the whole book of Isaiah. It took them a few years to do it. And Jesus is saying, you diligently study that. You diligently teach the law because you believe by doing that that you're in good with God. But Jesus said, you know, the sad thing is, I'm paraphrasing what our master said. He said, you know, the sad thing is those scriptures you read testify about me, but you won't come to me. Did you know Jesus Christ isn't calling you to a religion? He's calling you to a relationship. And a relationship is intimate. No two people in this building have the same relationship with God. Now, that doesn't give anybody in this building to jump up and say, I got this extra heavy revy from the Lord. It's not in the Bible. Well, I don't want to hear it. If you can't back that up with Scripture, don't waste your time and my time coming tell me about it. Does God still speak to His people through the Holy Spirit? Uh-huh. But you got to be online.
I'll use a term for your generation. You got to be online, man. You got to be available. And this is what Paul's saying to the church. He said, where's your mind? Now, earlier, he said to the church, talking about their salvation experience, which, by the way, we had one saved last Sunday and was baptized into Christ, praise the Lord. They waited till y'all cleared out. I don't have a problem with that, you know. So don't overrun her. It's okay to come up and say, praise God, we like your decision, but please don't overwhelm her. There you go. Don't overwhelm her. But I thought about that this week, and here's the reality for you that have been come to Christ and have been baptized into Him. Listen to what Paul says. In Him, in Jesus, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Where does Christ circumcise us? Our hearts. God told the Jews, don't circumcise your flesh, circumcise your hearts. You know, you have all the physical appearances of godly people, but he said, man, you guys got a heart problem. You don't love the Lord God with all your heart. You don't love your neighbor as yourself. There's no such thing as a sin nature, and if that offends you, I'm sorry. That is a doctrine of man. It's not anywhere in the Scripture, but I'll tell you what we got a nature of, self. You spell sin out, I is the center of sin. Adam and Eve didn't sin because they had a nature of sin. They didn't sin because the devil made them sin. The devil made them doubt God's intentions for them. He made them doubt the authority of His Word. And He still does that today, church. Well, did God really say that if I'm a Christian, I can't look at Hustler? Did He really say if I'm a Christian, it's wrong for me to look at certain things on the internet? I mean, did God really say that? Did God really say I shouldn't take a little drink once in a while? You know? No, He didn't tell you not to drink. I'm going to make people mad. He said don't be drunk. Yeah, don't be dependent on alcohol. I told you my testimony. I smoked for 20-some years and 15 years as a Christian. I've heard it all. You know, hey, you're defiling the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not what goes in that defiles it. It's what comes out. So give me something else. But one day the Holy Spirit said, Rick, that nicotine's a god. And you can't have any god but me. Oh, man. Now, I got a choice at that moment. Where's my head going to be? In the earth? John said, if you love this world, the love of God isn't in you, and you're actually God's enemy. Okay? Now, Paul's talking to these people. He said, you were circumcised in your heart by Christ. He tells how it happens here. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead, praise the Lord, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead raised you from the dead when you were baptized into Christ. When you prayed and said, I am a sinner, you're right. And if you don't do something, God, I've had it. Man, I love that. God said, okay. The night I prayed to Jesus, I had a bag of Sensimil in one pocket, what was left of a 12-pack of Pabst sitting there. And I was on my knees saying, God, I'm a sinner, and if you don't do something, I'm dead. Save me or kill me. That was my prayer. God, save me or get me out of this life. And He said, I'll take you. Yeah. I've been told some of y'all's tired of hearing my testimony. It always ends well. It's with Jesus. I don't know why you got a problem with that. You know. But I'll be careful. But now the question that the Holy Spirit asked me, where's your mind, Rick? Where's your head? Another translation says, set your affections. Who do you love supremely? Is it God? Or is it you? We don't like that kind of question.
So Paul said, you were buried with Jesus. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made you alive together with Christ. Yeah, praise God. God made me, who was dead in sin, alive. I love that passage in John where Jesus is talking to the Jews, the Pharisees, the religious teachers, and he goes, hey, I'm going to tell you guys a couple of things. Don't marvel at this. The hour has come, and it's already here. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear shall live. Man, I got a hold of that one day, and I threw my Bible up in the air and said, woo, praise God! I just got that. I was dead in sin. And hear doesn't mean you just hear with the physical ear the preaching of the word. When Jesus says hear, he says those who receive my word. Those who take my word is truth. John said we put this to our seal that God is true. When you refuse to come to Jesus Christ, you're calling God a liar. Literally. You're just saying, well, I don't need that. God, I'm a good person. I tithe. I teach Sunday school. You know, we can lay out this whole list of things that we do, and God goes, I'm not impressed with that at all. Yeah. God says, I want you to know me. You're dead. Jesus said to the Jews, you're walking dead men. But if you'll respond to my voice and obey my voice, church, obey is a big word that we need to practice in our life. It's not those who hear the word of God who are just in God's sight. It's those who obey and do the word. Okay. Where are you going with this, man? You're just hopping all over the place. We'll get to it. All right. So, Paul said, you were dead. Okay, what happened when you were baptized? You died again. You died. The sinner died. The addict died. The liar died. That's how God looks at it. You were consenting to God to say, look, nail this old man that I am to that cross with Jesus Christ. Throw him in that tomb. Don't ever let him out again, God. Let him turn to dust. Let him die. Boy, somebody should amen that. Not for the preacher, but think about what God did in your life. Yeah, I tell those addicts, I don't get high anymore, not because my wife doesn't want me to, not because the church doesn't want me to, and not because Jesus has never said, I don't want you to get high anymore. But here's what he did. He replaced that I was trying to cover, that pain. There ain't no high like the Holy Ghost, church. And I smoked some of the best weed in the world. I mean, it would set you on your haunches for several hours. And you don't feel. You don't think. You don't want to. And when I tasted of the heavenly gift of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, man, don't even bring that stuff around me. Now I have eternal life. Now I'm a child of God. And God never looked down and said, you know, Rick's been pretty good lately. I think I'll call him up and say, hey, you know, I'm willing to adopt you. I was a druggie. I was useless as a man. I just had no purpose in life. My life was all about me. Now that I'm a Christian, I have a purpose to make disciples of you. That's my purpose. And you know what your purpose is? To go out and make disciples of other people. You sit here Sunday after Sunday soaking up the Word of God, and you don't go out. You don't use what you learn. You know what happens? It stagnates. And I feel, well, I know the Bible says something somewhere about. Well, if you knew the author, he'll bring it to your memory. I promise you something. Church, if you will practice sharing your testimony, God will bless that, and you'll have stuff coming out of your mouth, and you'll be thinking, where'd that come from? You know, yeah. So, Paul said, you're dead, the old man, and now you're alive. You're dead, but you're alive. He said to Peter, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. What was Paul saying? I gave my will to God. I gave my life to God and said, here, it's yours. And Paul says, then where are you spending your time? Is your life really God's? Hi, baby girl.
There she goes. I don't like that man. But is your life God's? Amen. I heard some amens. Then where are you spending your time? Where are you spending your affection? Who do you owe your love to? Jesus Christ. Who else do you owe your love to? Some of you ain't going to like it. Sinners. The vile. The people that don't know Jesus Christ. Why are you here? Why am I here? Because I have a job to do. I'm a light to this community. Now, there's two responses to light. People either are attracted to it or they're repelled by it. Deal with that. If you get rejected, write it off, slough it off, and go on. You know, I've been feeling rejection in the house of God for years. Ministry can be very lonely. It's like, nobody likes me. I was praying about that a while. God, I ought to just quit ministering and just get a job and take care of me and my wife for whatever time I got left. And the Lord said, oh, so it's all about you. Well, I guess it is. I have to repent about once a week and say, you know what, Lord, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Yeah. If you really believe that, then what are you doing for him? Where's your head? Something I noticed on the ambulance. I have been to shacks, meth houses, that don't have much furniture, but every one of them got a satellite dish and a TV with 400 channels. And you just sit there and you take the world in. That's where your mind is. What's going to follow your mind? Your affections. You're going to love the things of the world. Am I against television? No. I have a television, but it doesn't have me. Can you get what I'm saying? It doesn't have me. If I turn on to a show and they're kissing and it looks like two largemouth bass chasing a minnow, I'm going to change channels. I'm serious. I cannot stand those kind of love affairs. Like, that's nasty. Why? Because I'm better than them? No, but I've went to a different place. You know what happens when I see that? The Holy Spirit says, it is written, you shall not commit adultery. Why do you want to watch adultery? I don't want to watch adultery, Lord. So I like to watch the old cowboy films. Slim and Jess Harper on Laramie. They always get their heads thumped. They always get in trouble, but they always come out on top. And they usually get to shoot the bad guy. That's the part I like. That guy that was mouthing you, now he's not mouthing you anymore. You know. But, you know, the Lord says, I don't expect you to act like that. Oh, man, not even a little bit. Where's your head? Where's your mind? Paul said, your life isn't yours anymore, and if you truly know that you are a child of God, that Jesus Christ is your master, then your whole life should be Jesus Christ. Paul said, when Jesus, who is our life, appears, is he your life? He's mine. What does that mean? It means that he is the source of my life, and I recognize that. Does it mean that I don't sin? Nope. But sin's the exception with me. It's not the rule. I am not bound by sin. I don't have to sin. Word, thought, or deed, I choose to. Okay? Let's get honest, Christian. You know, the more honest we get with God, the more he'll bless us and he'll cleanse us of that. But it's still a choice. I was talking to an addict last week. She'd done time in prison, but she said, I've been clean 7 years, lost my kids, had to fight for a year after I got out of prison, had to go through the courts, had to jump through the hoops, but she said, I got my kids back. I said, praise God. She said, but I had to work for it. And she said, you see that commercial of that geek with the glasses on and the stethoscope that says, addiction is a disease. She said, I get so mad I want to fight when he says that. She said, that's a lie. I didn't go to prison for a disease. I went to prison for a lifestyle that I chose. Yeah, her head was in the world. That's all the world has to offer you. Here, man, get high to get by.
God says you don't want to spend your time there, Christian. You can be a child of God and spend your time in the world, and your life will become fruitless and powerless. You won't have a testimony. Okay? Paul said, Christ sets you free. Christ has enabled you to have your mind set on heavenly things. Well, how's that, God? Paul said, we don't have the spirit of the world. We have the spirit of Christ. And in Corinthians, he said, therefore, you have the mind of Christ. Now, get a hold of that. It's not just the thinking part. It's the feeling. It's the seat of the will. Jesus Christ puts his will in you and his emotions. One of the most unspiritual prayers I hear in the church. Oh, God, give us a burden for the lost. If you ain't got a burden for the lost, you ain't got the Holy Ghost in you. I'm just going to be honest with you. You ain't. Or you have grieved him to the point he just shuts up. That's a dangerous place to be, Christian, when the Holy Ghost says, fine, I'm done talking with you. Have what you want. You and I, the Bible says that we who believe in Jesus Christ have been given the power and the right to become children of God, not born of the flesh, not because of our pedigree or our background, not born of the will of any man, but born of God. If you're a child of God this morning, it's because you said yes to several things. Yes, God, I am a sinner. Yes, God, I deserve eternal damnation. But I believe that you made a way for me to be delivered from all that. And God, I don't want that life anymore. That's where you got to get, person. You cannot be saved till you see your need for a Savior. And after you're saved, you're changed. God takes you just as you are, but he has no intention of leaving you that way. You're useless to him. If he leaves you alone and says you don't have to change, you can still smoke a number once in a while. Do a little line, you know. Slip out and have a little snorts, you know. God understands. No, he doesn't. You know what he says? You're mine. You were bought at a price. I paid for you with the blood of my son. Your life isn't yours anymore. Now it's all about Jesus. See, when I was a sinner, it was all about me. My drug habits came before my family, before my children, whether they had food or not. Yeah, I tried to feed them three times a day, but buddy, I had my dope. And if the choice came down to it, sometimes I had my dope. Okay? It was all about me. And Christians, the church has to stop walking in that mentality. We condemn addicts and sinners for that, but I can look around the church and I can see it's all about me. You want me to keep coming here? You better play the music I like. You better take my suggestions and programs. I don't like that contemporary stuff. The music's too loud. We ain't singing to you. It's all about Jesus Christ. If you don't like the music, sit there and lip sync and act like you're singing at least. My gosh. You know what I do when I can't understand the words? I read them because they're always up on PowerPoint. They had some songs last night. Brother Deming had me pumped, you know, all this worship, man. And it sounded like a cross between punk and heavy metal. I ain't making that up. It was terrible. And I'm sitting there going, Jesus! And I'm looking over at Demi, and he's just looking straight ahead. And, you know, I want to say, hey, brother, where's the worship? Well, I ain't going to say nothing about somebody I won't say to him. So we had a break, and everybody went outside, and I looked over, and the worship leader standing on my right, and I walked up and shook his hand. I said, that music sucked. That's the only way I said, man, that sucked. I said, your mixture was off. Your guitars were drowning each other out. You could hardly hear the drummer. I said, I couldn't understand a word you were saying. I was reading with you, and I still wasn't understanding it too good. It was all me. That's what I got. Me, 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 me. And you know what he did? He said, brother, you're right. He said, our mix was off. We sounded terrible. He said, I just wanted to get through that set. He said, I learned them songs 30 minutes ago. I said, I feel your pain, brother. God help us. We'll come into a worship service, and they'll say, let's do a new one. We got 15 minutes to learn it, and then we're going to do it right in front of the church. And I don't read music. I told that dude that. He said, I grew up in the Church of Christ. I said, really? I bet your mom and dad are proud of you. You know, if they're banging on that guitar. Good guitarist. He said, wait till our next set. I think you'll like it better. And I saw him back there messing with his mixer, and it sounded so much better. You know. Where's your head? I told Demi, if we bring that into this church, we're going to see people die. Right in the, I mean, they'll do, ugh. Yeah. Yeah, but I loved the spirit of worship there. I shared in Sunday school, the guy that preached on Lazarus, and he said, every Monday I go to the prison, and I tell these inmates that know Jesus Christ, you're free. You're in here, but you're freer than a lot of people out here on the street. Yeah. Where should their heads be? Not in prison. By that I mean, you can dwell on where you're at in life, and you just get feeling so sorry for yourself. You'll start asking God, what is going on? You know, I thought I would be here by now. God doesn't think that way. You know what God says to his church? Jesus said it to his 12. The Son of Man did not come to call the righteous, but to seek and save the lost. To seek the lost. How do you seek them? You get out amongst them. Yeah. You go to a bar if God tells you to go to a bar. Oh, I don't want to ruin my testimony. Your testimony's already been taken care of. Okay. Amen. You can go into a bar and order a 7-Up and sit there and share Jesus Christ. Don't go in there preaching because they'll beat you down and you'll get rolled out the back door. But I'm talking about you can go in there and sit down and be Jesus to these people. Jesus did it. He went to parties. Where was his mind? On heavenly things. Where's your mind? Where's mine? I have the privilege to enter the throne room in heaven anytime I need to. I don't have to call God and make an appointment. You know, hello, God, are you free on Thursday? No, Rick, I'm not, but, you know, wait 6 months. That's never happened. You know when I'm the happiest? And I had a guy here made that observation one time. He said, you're the happiest when you're serving. I've noticed that about you. He said, when you do a funeral sometime, he said, I see you ministering to people in the name of Christ. And he said, there's a peace there. There's a happiness there. Why? Because that's what I'm made for. That's who I am. I'm a child of God. I am here to represent Jesus Christ to the lost. I told an addict that 2 weeks ago. I read him Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to open the prison doors and set the captives free. This guy's done a hard time twice. And I said, you know what the Greek means there? Not only are you locked in a cell, you are chained and locked in a cell. Now, I've been in jail. I've been chained, but I've never been chained in jail. Okay. I'm not bragging. That's just, I've seen a lot of dudes that thought they was bad let out as humble puppy dogs with shackles on their feet and their wrists. They weren't talking smack. You know, they had their heads down and they walked with a shuffle and them chains go, ding, ding, ding. And you know, if you don't know Jesus, that's right where you're at right now. If you don't have that relationship, that's where you're at. Oh, we don't like that kind of teaching. Well, deal with it. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus said it. He said, the hour is coming, it's already here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man. And those who hear will live. Those who respond, those who obey, those who believe the verdict. You remember what he told Nicodemus? Here's the verdict. Light's come into the world, but men loved what? Darkness. I am learning that as I reach out to people, I will be rejected. Jesus said that. He said, hey, if they'll listen to me, they'll listen to you. But if they hate me, they're going to hate you. So don't get on a pity party, Christian. You get your head into heavenly things, guess what you're going to find out? God's will for your life. You will. Amen. And I've never said, God, what do you want me to do? And go, that's none of your business. Now I can say, God, what are you going to do here? And he'll say, well, that's none of your business. You know? I listened to a woman preacher one time. I sat there and I judged her through that whole sermon. God didn't call a woman to preach. You know what God said to me? I don't have to clear that with you. I'll use anybody I want to teach the word. Now you go apologize to her. I didn't say it out loud. Yeah, but the Lord said, you go apologize. And then I had that wall between me and God. That brother last night talked about the stone between him and Lazarus. It had to be moved for Jesus to do the work. And I had that stone. And I went up and said, I've been bad-mouthing you. I've been hindering this revival by going around talking ugly about you. And I said, the Lord told me to apologize to you. And she just started bawling. Ooh! Let's not get all emotional, lady, you know. She told me when I walked up to her, she said, the look on your face, I thought, this big redneck's going to chew me out. She said, I just had this intense look. Well, God said, do it, you know, and I had a mission. Okay. How do you learn that? You keep your mind in the heavenly things. I'm no better than any of you. I'm not privileged because I'm a minister. I can get into the world just as quick as you can. I can relapse as quick as anyone else if I keep my mind in the world. You know what the world tells me? Well, once you're an addict, you're always an addict. There's really no cure for it. I liked what the brother said last night. It's alcoholism, not alcoholism. I like that. But I'm free. In Jesus Christ, I'm free. You can offer me a beer now or sour mash, and I can say no thank you because I'm trying to turn your hospitality down. You can light up a joint, try to hand it to me. No thank you. Is it because I'm better than you? No, I don't need it anymore. I don't want anything in my life that's going to hinder my relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. And he's done told me that pot's of God. Give it up. Rick, that sour mash is of God. Give it up. Rick, that attitude's of God. Rick, that tobacco's of God. And I'm like, God, how many gods do I have? I just thought I had one. Anything you put before a God is a God. Well, how do I know God's will for my life? Get your head into heaven. Pray. Read the word. Listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Obey him in his time. I knew I was called to ministry for a while, and I was in I won't say the church because that gets people set off. I was in this church, and I told the preacher, I think God's called me to preach. He said, we agree. We've been talking about that, me and the deacons. Didn't offer to license me. Didn't offer to help me go to a Bible college. He said, it'll be in God's time, brother. Boy, that made me mad. I joined the church one Sunday, and I left the next Sunday. Well, if they don't know who I am, how lucky they are to have a preacher like me, you know, that God's called me to do this. And that's the way my experience was. I was trying to make it happen. I kept running into closed doors. And the whole time, the Spirit of God's going, not yet. God, I'm going, nope, not yet. You ain't ready. You all think I'm bad now? I've been helped, okay? You don't like my attitude now? You should have known me 30 years ago. When I was a baby Christian, I thought I was called to preach. I'd try to cast a demon out of you, man. If you and I disagreed, I'd just... You know something God's making more real to me? When I got my head in heaven, a shepherd leads. You don't drive the sheep. Sheep don't drive well. Sheep are stupid. Now, I'm a sheep, too, so don't think, well, Mo, he got an attitude. All the sheep can say to the shepherd is, blah. That's it. The shepherd can say something, sheep go, blah. They'll eat weeds. The shepherd's supposed to, they would go in and pull poison plants up before they graze their herd. Because the sheep was so stupid, they just, oh, that looks good. You know, Fred died eating it yesterday, but I'll try it today. I bet it won't kill me. Yeah. And we're shepherds, elders. We are shepherds. I've been told I don't do the job of a shepherd very well. Well, I apologize, but I'm still learning. I wasn't born a shepherd. I'm being made a shepherd. You know something the Holy Spirit makes so real to me? It's His love for you. I'm being serious. His love for you. Boy, the Holy Spirit impresses that on me. You teach them. You love them. You pray for them. Don't cuss them out, you know. Don't talk ugly about them behind their back. Where's your mind, Christian? Where's your affections? Where's your heart this morning? Now, a lot of us can say, well, you know, right now it's in the world, man. You know, I'm worried over my finances, and I've had to make this adjustment and that adjustment, and I'm really stressed out. And, you know, things have changed, so I'm changing. I understand that. But where's your mind? What do you turn to in your time of need? Hopefully, yes. A lot of us say, God, weed, little tequila once in a while. Porn, you know, porn relaxes me, brother, watching porn on the internet. That never did relax me. But I'm getting old enough now, it doesn't interest me. Yeah. That Hardee's commercial with them two chicks in the Daisy Duke shorts feeding each other them hamburgers, I swear to God, I thought, man, that hamburger looks good. You know, I didn't care about the chicks. The hamburger looked good to me. But I ain't dead. You get what I'm saying? If I don't keep my mind in heavenly things, I can have sexual lust as bad as any young man in this room. I can have unclean thoughts. This isn't a bragging session. I'm trying to share what I've learned. You can't stop those thoughts from coming, Christian, but it's up to you what you do with them. You bet. Kick them out. I read of an old Christian church minister or elder. He said, I got a sign over my heart that says, no vacancy. And he said, when the tempter comes to me, I say, there's no room for you here. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He'll run like a scalded hound. It ain't because he fears me, but my master whipped him when he was on the cross. He defeated him and triumphed over him openly. My Bible says Jesus ascended into heaven and he led captivity captives. The war generals used to do that. They'd have a parade when they got home, and the guys that were going to die were in the back end of the procession. And the people could watch all these captives go by. Wow, look what that general did. And my Bible says that my Jesus, when he ascended on high, he got Satan by the nose. He said, come on, boy. I'm showing all the demons your wit. Yeah. We just need to understand that in the church. What if people reject us? They rejected Jesus, but there's going to be some that won't reject you. Are you ready to share your testimony? Huh? You do not have to memorize a whole book of the Bible. You don't have to be willing to quote Scripture. You know what the world wants to hear? They don't want to hear Scripture. They don't want to hear Christian language. They want to hear you from your heart say, this is what Jesus Christ has done in my life. This is where I was. Here's where I'm at now. That's what the world wants to hear. And then beyond hearing it, they want to see it. You know one of the biggest complaints I have when I invite people to church? Church full of hypocrites. I have to be careful because sometimes I say, well, come join us. One more is not going to matter. You know? Yeah, we're working on that. I'm trying to learn to smile knowingly and walk off. But I'm mouthy. I am mouthy, you know.
Paul said, being blessed, we revile. Well, that's you, Paul. Being reviled, I like to revile back. Yeah. Oh, yeah? You know why that happened? That's when my head's not in the kingdom. That's when my mind's not on heavenly things. Church, you got a testimony. If you are a child of Jesus Christ, you don't have to be an axe murderer. We love those testimonies. I cut my mother-in-law into 32 pieces with a broad axe, but Jesus saved me. Oh, God, tell us about your testimony. You know, we want to hear about that, brother. You get a guy that says, well, I got saved when I was 10 years old, and I never smoked a cigarette and took a drink. You know, I was sexually pure until I was married. I've heard those testimonies. And you know what they did? They'll look at me and say, but I don't have your testimony, Brother Rick. I said, that's because you were smarter than I was. You know, I was an idiot. I had to learn everything the hard way. I said, you got turned on to Jesus when you was a kid, and he got you through adolescence and puberty and the whole nine yards. He kept you pure. Yeah. Why do I need to keep my head in heaven? Keep it in the Word. Keep it in the Holy Spirit. Young lady, when Harry Hormone puts his hand on your knee and says, if you love me, you'll let me, you need to be thinking, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says. Get your hands off of God's temple, Bubba. Whoever tries to defile God's temple, he will destroy. I'm serious, girls. Boys, when you're smoking and a stroking in the back seat and you're petting and a kissing, your respirations are getting up and the sweat's falling, and you got one thing on your mind, you know what you need to think if you're a Christian? I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. I am a child of God, and Paul said you don't take what belongs to Christ and join it to a whore. Paul said that. You can look it up. See, you get your head where it belongs, and your body will follow suit. Paul said if you follow the Spirit, if you let Him lead, you won't go after the desires of the flesh. Yeah, but you don't understand that temptation. Hey, I was a young man once. I woke up thinking about sex. I went to bed thinking about sex. When I ate a sandwich at lunch, I thought about sex. So don't tell me I don't understand your temptations. I had an addict the other night said, I don't have what you have to fall back on. And I am not ready to quit these drugs. I said, you can have what I have. And then he said, well, I don't want it. Yeah. He's done time twice. He got shot in the face with a .357, tore the bottom half of his face off. Doctor said if it hadn't hit the jawbone, the maxilla, if it hadn't hit that and deflected the bullet, it would have come out of his occipital lobe, and that's where you're breathing and everything is, and it would have killed him. And when he said, I'm not ready, I said, can I ask you a question? Yeah. I said, how's things going so far? You know, what has your decision brought you to? You've been shot in the face. You've been down doing hard time twice. You lost everything you loved. Is that worth hanging on to that? You know what some people's answer is? Yeah. Because it's all about me. When I stand before God, I will ask Him questions. I've been told that. I've got questions for God. Well, He's got the answers, dude. But you ain't going to like them. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I told that one guy, you ain't going to be asking anything, man. You're going to be trembling from head to toe, and you're going to say, oh, wow, did I screw up? See, in this life, God has offered us, those who believe in what Jesus Christ did, the power to become sons and daughters of God. It's a lifelong process. And Paul was saying to the Colossian church, where's your mind, church? Where should it be? In heaven. You died to sin, and your life has been hidden with Christ. Why do you want to stay there? Well, I had a lot of fun when I was a sinner. Yeah, I did. I tell you, I said, yeah, I had a lot of fun when I did drugs. I don't remember some of the fun I had, but I know I was having fun, you know. I remember one morning, I woke up at the cemetery, sleep on a grave, had what was left of a bottle of Mad Dog 2020, and I'd been drinking that and eating tranquilizers. And I thought, why am I laying on a grave? Judgment Day, I'm the first one up. You know, I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Where was my head in the world? Where's my head now? It's in the heavens, because that's all that matters. This church ain't about me, and it ain't about you. Sorry to break your heart with that. But it ain't about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Not to Rick, not to Wayne, not to Deming. We are shepherds. We're to point you to Jesus Christ. Yeah. And we are to live before you by example. Do you love the Lord? Where do you spend your time? Don't answer that. That's rhetorical. I don't want you to answer. Think about that. I challenge you this week to sit down and write out a list. How much time do I spend in self-entertainment? How much of my money do I spend on me? I know I just bought a Harley. You say physician here yourself. But it's going to be a ministry tool. I've prayed and asked God to bless the bike and the idiot on it, you know. Yeah, it's going to be a ministry tool. But where Jesus said where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What do you spend the most money on? Well, I'm on a fixed income. Well, okay. How much of that does God get? Well, I just don't have the money. I haven't tithed in 4 weeks. I'm an elder, and I'm confessing that to you because I've got in some financial straits, and I broke my own rule. I said, God, I'll owe you, but I got to have this money extra week to get my bills caught up. And you know what? I didn't feel any condemnation of the Holy Ghost. I'm good for it. You know, when I get my bills caught up, God, I'm going to give you back pay. Now, I'm telling you that so you'll know that I'm not a perfect man. You don't hear me preach on giving. But what are you giving to God? Where's your head? Where's your mind? Where are your affections? I challenge you to sit down this week, Christian, and write out a list. And you may start looking over that list and go, whoa, I didn't realize I was spending that much time in this. I'm talking about time. I'm not asking for your money. Okay? This is God's church. And if it goes under, it's because He wanted it to. If it's exalted, it's because we humbled ourselves and He's going to exalt it. This is Christ's body. This is what I pray every day for this church. We're your body, Lord. And you're going to take care of us and you're going to feed us. Because no man ever hated his own body. But He loves it and He takes care of it. I walk in that faith. God's not done with this church. He's not the least bit finished. I'll tell you what He's done. He's weeded the garden. And there may be some more weeding to do. I didn't do it. He did. Tares and wheat. Jesus said, you leave them alone. I'll pull up the weeds. That took such a stress off of me. Thank you, God. You know what else He told me? Quit arguing with people about once saved, always saved. You know, He said, don't spend your time in that. Wow, thank you. You know, I don't have to do that. There's a scripture for that. Let him who is ignorant be ignorant still. You know, that's how I feel about it. You want to argue with the Word of God? Well, good luck winning on that one. The closer I get to Christ, the more I see my wretchedness. The more I see my need for Him, and the closer I want to get. And my prayer now is, Lord, either let me get closer to You or kill me. Take me out with a heart attack. That's probably how I'm going to die. You know, I got a replacement here. I'm ready to go. I honestly feel like if I can't get closer to You, if I can't know You better, I don't want to live. You know, I want to just keep elevating spiritually. And I still won't be better than you, but I want to know Jesus Christ. How do I do that? I spend time with him. How do you do it? You got to spend time with him. How do you get to know your wife? You talk to her. If she lets you get a word in edgewise, you know. If you don't, you listen to her. But don't you have to, men and ladies, don't we have to work on relationships in a marriage? Isn't it something we do on purpose? Yeah. Serving Jesus is the same way. We do it on purpose and with a purpose. I kept you longer than I meant to. But I could still preach another 2 hours, you know. But I'm not going to. This week, I challenge you. Sit down and write out a list. You don't have to show it to nobody. I don't want to see it. But the Holy Spirit's telling you this morning, look, you need to have your head in the right place. You need to have your affections in the right place. Because if you don't, you can get drawn right back into the world. And the only thing sadder than a sinner is a saved sinner. You know, they get so deluded. James says they're self-deceived. Satan doesn't have to deceive them anymore. They're self-deceived. Would you stand with me this morning? You know, as I said, the Holy Spirit has impressed upon me his love for people here. And you know what God says? If you get rebuked by a message, he said, don't faint because I love you. I'm taking you to the woodshed because I love you and I want to change you. You know, people get mad sometimes. They go, I'm not going to listen to that. Well, okay. You just told your Heavenly Father, you ain't spanking me. I'm a rebellious kid, by golly. I'll do what I want. If you're here this morning and you've never came to Christ, the invitation's open. Sometimes I think I'd like to take Christian Church off that sign and put whosoever up there. We the church of the whosoever. Jesus said, whosoever will come. You know, I'm not going to do that because that'd freak a bunch of you out. But let's get real for Jesus. I can't make you love him. I can't convict you of sin. Only the Holy Spirit does that. I've had people come in, I didn't like that message, man. He made me feel bad. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's moving. What are you going to do with it? Well, I don't like it. Well, take it up with him. If you're here this morning, Christian, and you can say, you know, my head's in the world. Well, don't leave here like that. My Bible says you can come to the throne room of grace boldly in time of need. The door is open. No appointments necessary. Jesus Christ already made the appointments. He paid the retainer fee. I got a life insurance policy with Jesus Christ that's out of this world. You know, and you can have it if you want that. You want peace with God? You're not going to get it by giving money and doing good works. You're just going to get more miserable because you're fighting with the Holy Spirit. Don't fight with him today. I know. Wrap this up, brother. I'm not on a time clock, but I will respect your time. Where are you at this morning? Where's your affections? Where's your mind? If God is telling you this morning, you got some idols, this is a great place to lay them down. Lay them at the feet of Jesus and say, you're my God. I had to say the other day, marijuana's not my God. I ain't smoked a joint in 20 years, but all of a sudden this urge come up. That's how I answer that. It's not my God. Jack Daniels isn't my God. Food is not my God. I know you're saying you need to work on that still. Okay. But, yeah, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean that in arrogance. I mean, in all humility, I can't believe he loves somebody as scuzzy as me. This church will never hear all my testimony. Very few people will ever hear my whole testimony because I did some things in my past that were downright criminal and disgusting and perverted. But Jesus Christ forgave me. And I'm not that man anymore. That's how I can stand here and tell you he loves you.
But he said, look, man, I died for you. I've washed you in my blood in the waters of baptism. You're mine now. I've changed your heart. You have this different outlook. You should have, if the Spirit of God is there. Now I need you to get your head in the game. If you need to do that this morning, come up here and sit down. If you need to receive Christ, come up and sit down. If you need to talk after church, I'll stay. I'll lock up. If you got something you want to talk about, not your dog foo-foo, please. I mean, if I'm going to miss out on my lunch, let's talk about Jesus. That's what I want to talk about. Would you come as we sing the song of invitation if you need to come?